Jesus Christ
is the one that's able to do all things, and He can do more and above anything that we can even wrap our head about. And He does it by His power, because it's not our power, because it's His power that works inside of us. But our work is to give glory to God in the church through Jesus Christ, world without end. We'll do it now, we'll do it in heaven. But it is to give glory to God in the church. Everything we do is to be under that overriding umbrella. Our personal behavior, our interactions with each other. If those interactions are not giving glory to God in the way that we go about them, if our language is not giving glory to God in the way that we say it, if our behavior is not giving glory to God in the things that we do, then we're missing the point of our place in the church. Glory to God in the church through Jesus Christ, world without end. Now, thinking about that statement, I want you to go back with me into the book of Mark, and I want you to look with me at a statement that Jesus makes about the kingdom of God. I've heard it said over the years, well, you know, we in the church really don't have anything to do. God does it all. He gets all the glory. We're the recipients of His grace. Well, there's a large principle in which that's true, but it's a cop-out a lot of times in missing the things that we are supposed to do, or excusing ourselves, because we saw this morning, and I'll repeat it again from Ephesians chapter 2, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, that He had those good works He has before ordained that we're supposed to walk in. Now, how do we do, why do we do those good works? Well, I want you to notice in our passage tonight something that those works are and something that they are not. Read with me from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26, please. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, or should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first of the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice a couple of things about this statement that Jesus makes. He reminds us that so is the kingdom of God. Now, I know that the church is not the full entity of the kingdom. The kingdom is broader than simply any local body. It's my understanding that we are to understand the kingdom of God in the scope of the church that has the kingdom that has shoe leather on it, that we can see, that we can experience, that we can understand what God's doing. And within our scope, I want you to notice that as the kingdom of God, it's like a man who puts forth seed. Jesus uses a very literal and very familiar physical illustration to demonstrate a spiritual truth. Jesus used the illustration of a farmer, a man who should cast seed into the ground. He plants the seed. He puts it out. Then he sleeps. Night and day. And I understand by that statement it means day after day. He goes about in his life. He has put the seed in the ground. He waits for a period of time. He cannot cause the seed to germinate. He cannot speed it up. He cannot make it different. He puts it in the ground, and the earth or the ground brings forth the fruit in its season. The blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. Now, I want you to see that this particular illustration has to be understood in the light of the parable that Jesus gives in the first verses of Mark chapter 4. He talks about the sower, and that sower goes forth to sow. And he spreads the seed. Some of it falls by the wayside on hard ground. Some of it lands among the thorns. Some of it falls where there's just not much dirt for it to grow in. But some of it lands in good soil. You see, the fact of the matter is, when we're as the sower, one of the big issues is the seed, the soil into which the seed falls. God makes a difference. God makes a preparation. We plow, and we turn it over, and we try to get the weeds out of it, and we handle it. But we understand that the fertility of it is there by God's grace and by God's goodness. We lose sight of that sometimes with our technology. We have great machines that do a lot of the work. We have chemicals that we can put on it, and we have irrigation systems that we can pump to it. But we lose sight of the fact that the real issue in the soil is the preparation which God has made first. I'll say this, you can take a sandy soil when it's nothing but sand. You can pour water on it all day long, it'll soak right through. You put seed in it, and there's nothing there for it to live on. God put sand in its place. And he had a reason for it. But he has good ground in its place as well. God makes a difference in the soils. God makes a preparation in the heart of man. You see, the seed which is sown is the word of God. The seed is put into the ground. And the farmer, the sower, watches. Prayerfully? Yes. Trustingly? Yes. Patiently? Yes. But he waits. That's kind of hard for us to do, isn't it? Waiting is not something that comes naturally to us when we want something done. We want it done yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, God has a plan. God has a process in the natural things. And we're to see that in the kingdom of God, the same thing is true. God has a plan and God has a purpose. We do a work, but God brings forth the fruit to his glory. He gets up and he sees the little green sprig begin to break through. One of the most marvelous things to me as a city boy, when I first moved out into the country about 40 years ago, I would ride down the road after they had plowed and planted, and they put the soybean plants in, seed in, or they put the corn seed in. And you ride down the road and you look, and every row, nice and neatly laid out. But after they plant that seed, it's amazing that in two or three days you begin to see these nice straight little rows of green sprigs sticking up. You go back by a couple of days later, they're a little bit taller. Corn begins to grow up. And it begins to put the ears with the tassels on it. And later on, each one of those ears, with dependent upon the tassels on the top of it, fill out to where it becomes the corn cob and the corn kernels that, I don't know about you, but that I like to gnaw off the cob. But you see, folks, the statement in here is, he knows not how. He doesn't have an understanding of how it happens at a given moment. He doesn't have the ability to make it happen any faster or any differently than God has designed it. But his job is not to make it happen. His job, first and foremost, is to put the seed in the ground and know that God is going to bring about a work that he has no control over. And when the seed comes to the fullness of the corn in the ear, he goes back to work. He puts the sickle in and harvests. So is the kingdom of God. What I want you to see, folks, is that you and I in the Lord's church have two works. Two very important works. Things that God intends us to do. They're based around and upon his work and his plan. He changes the hearts of men. He quickens the spirits of men, that his word falls into a prepared place. His word is the seed, and the hearing of the word is the planting of that seed. Look with me in Matthew just a minute. Look in Matthew chapter 13. This is a companion chapter containing much of the same things about the kingdom of God that Mark writes about in chapter 4. But look what Jesus tells his disciples about the parable of the sower. Now I want you to look with me in verses 18 and 19. In particular, verse 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But you see, the illustration is, he that heareth the word of the kingdom. The seed that we sow, the seed that is our job to sow, as the sower and the worker, it is our job to sow the word of God, the word of the kingdom, the word of the gospel. It is our job to spread that message. Now, that message contains many parts of it, granted. There is the message of our sinfulness. There is the message of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. There is the cognizance of our wickedness. There is the hope of forgiveness in Jesus. All of these things are part of the word. That's why Paul said in the book of Acts that he had not failed to preach the whole counsel of God. But that sowing of the word is our job. The spreading of the word is to be the constant, consistent, faithful, and patient labor in which we are engaged. It's not my place to change the death to life. That's not within my power. It's not my place to convert those whom Jesus spoke of as the Pharisees that were of their father the devil. I can't change the hard soil. But it's my place to sow the word carefully, faithfully, willingly, and continually as we labor where God has us, knowing that he will bring a fruit out of that word, and it will come forth, the blade, the ear, and I mean the blade and then the ear and then the corn in the ear. It will come forth in God's pattern. It will come forth in God's timing. God's word tells us what man is. God's word tells us what God does by his grace. God's word makes an evidence of fertile soil. Look at what Paul said about his own understanding of the gospel in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verses 16 and 17. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There's the word of the King. I'm not ashamed. I'm not doubtful of it. I'm not confused by it. I'm not afraid to use it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is God's plan at work. I don't know how. I don't know how God works in the hearts of men any more than I know how that little seed that's buried in the ground begins to pop up and show an evidence of life. But when the seed that is sown begins to show an evidence, it is an absolute testimony to the power of God who delivers unto salvation. We're chosen unto salvation before the foundation of the world. But in our lifetime, there is the deliverance of that experience that is salvation. And the gospel is that which tells us, which brings to us the experience of that to which we've been chosen. You see, the gospel produces an effect in good ground. And the good thing is, while I don't know how, while I can't explain it, while I can't make it happen, I know that the Word of God is going to bring forth the fruit for which it's sent. Isaiah said that hundreds of years earlier. Isaiah chapter 55. Read with me there if you will in verses 8 through 11. Isaiah 55 beginning in verse 8. God says to his people through the prophet, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that which goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Now the I is God. God said, "It won't come back to me void, it empty, unaffected. It will produce fruit. First the leaf, then the ear, and then the corn in the ear. In his time, it will produce that for which we sow it." We are to be faithful in sowing. We are to be careful in how we treat the people to whom we sow it. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the effectiveness of the gospel because we've heard it for a long time and we're always pretty much the same group of people that are here. Well, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Because the fact of the matter, if it wasn't God's work in your life, you wouldn't have heard it and understood it to start with. And the fact is, I don't know who He's going to bring through that door. More than that, I don't know who you and I are going to have an opportunity to talk with in the course of our lives out in the world. But the fact of the matter is, when we spread the Word of God, when we speak of the Word of God, when we share the seed, God's going to get glory from it. He will bring forth fruit. I don't know how. But I rejoice to know that it is true. But when He brings it forth, when it comes to fruition, immediately the sower puts in the sickle, for the harvest is come. What I want you to understand, folks, in our caring with God's children, in our spreading the Word of God, in our giving hope, there is a harvesting that we are to do. This is the kingdom of God is as the sower. He sows the seed. He watches in awe as God's plan is at work. But when the fruitfulness comes, He puts in the sickle and begins to bring in. I'm going to tell you, folks, that sometimes I think we generically, not just we, the Brooklyn Church, Primitive Baptist Church, but generically, we as God's people have lost sight of the fact that there is to be an encouraging harvesting that we are told to do. As the fruit comes to fruition in the lives of God's people, we are to reach out to embrace them. We are to reach out to encourage them. We are to reach out to assure them. We are to reach out to let them know what God wants them to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We just kind of sit back sometime and just wait for them to drop in. But I'll tell you, folks, we need to understand that the work of harvesting is one of the things that God says that we as the sower are to do. The sower, well, that's the preacher's job. Well, not necessarily limited to that. It is the preacher's job. It was the apostle's job. But let me ask you to notice a passage in the book of John just a minute. Notice with me let's go to John 17, verse 20. Jesus is praying the night that He is to be arrested. The Last Supper is over. They're about to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying to His Father. And He prays for His disciples. But He says in verse 20, I pray, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. You see, the word was the outreach that had an effect in people's lives. And as those people went out and those people bore witness, there was a continued effect. We are in that process today of sowing the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strives. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You see, that's to be our approach with the fruit that is being brought forth. We are to be patient. We are to be gentle. Our language is not to engender strife and uncertainty and anger or confusion. You see, the harvest is a tender thing. If you take the tender fruit and you mistreat it, it's damaged and it doesn't do what it's called to do. But it's to be harvested, but it's to be harvested carefully, patiently. We keep working. We keep reaching out to bring in what the Lord brings to fruition. You know, Jesus, on two different occasions, in the book of John, in John chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 9, I won't turn to those passages, but I would call your attention to them. If Jesus told his disciples on both of those occasions, he looked about and he said, look, the fields are white unto harvest. The fruit's there. You pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. God brings forth the fruit. We need to pray for ourselves and for others who come as the laborers to bring in what God produces. To do it tenderly, to do it timely, to do it patiently, to do it understandingly, but to reach out unto folks where we see God's grace at work, leading them, when they're burdened about their own sin, the next step of that is leading them to understand through the Word of God what the act of repentance is. But more than that, it is to understand that there is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. We work to bring in, to gather in, that which God is producing. I don't create the fruit. I don't control the fruit. I am in awe at the grace of God that produces the fruit. He doesn't wait for people to get to be fully good before He uses them to begin to manifest His fruit. From the depths of our sinfulness, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we are yet sinners, Christ begins to work in us. I plant the Word. You plant the Word. We are laborers in God's kingdom. And so is His kingdom. We sow the Word. Prayerfully, trustingly wait. I sow it because I know that God prepares the soil. I sow it knowing that God will bring forth fruit to His own glory. I sow it expectantly. We live in an age where people begin to say, oh, it really doesn't matter. Ain't nobody going to listen anyway. I'm going to tell you, when God touches the heart and prepares the soil, they'll hear. So it's not out of a habit, it's not out of a routine, it is out of an expectation to see what God is going to do. We, as His kingdom, are to sow the Word of the kingdom. That's our first job. Sowing the Word. Giving God praise as we watch what He does, but carefully bringing in what He has produced. What's our work? Unto Him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus, world without end. He's the producer. He's the maintainer. We are the sowers and we are the harvester. But it's all to be to His glory. May we become aware of every opportunity we have to sow the Word of the kingdom. May we also be aware of where God is manifesting that fruit. May we look for the little sprig that's beginning to pop up. May we look for the development of that ear that's beginning to show. May we comfortingly watch as it begins to fill out. May we pray that God would let us know the time at which we're to reach out and begin to draw in that which He's produced. You see, both ends of that are works that the sower was to do. God didn't shake them out of the tree. Pecan trees, they get full and they get heavy. Either a storm comes along and the wind drops them out, or somebody brings a tractor and hooks a tray to it and just shakes them and they fall out. That ain't the way that God says we're to do with the fruit. I can't shake them till they fall out. But I can lovingly draw them in. But that's as much part of my work as is sowing the word to begin with. Folks, that's our work in the church. So, expectantly wait and harvest what He brings. May the Lord bless us to look for His work, for His glory, and to do what He calls us to do. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.